If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
It's really about growing your character. It's not about making the money, although that's cool because you can help a lot of people and you can support your family, but it's becoming everything you were created to be. See, I believe we've all been given certain gifts, and these gifts have been given to us to be a blessing and help to others.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Brett is a deferred sales trust expert, capital gains tax deferral expert, investment real estate expert, multifamily broker, and the founder of Capital Gains Tax Solutions, a company helping individuals to defer capital gains tax on the sale of their highly appreciated assets, eliminate the need for a 1031 exchange, and deliver a transformational wealth plan so they can create and preserve more wealth. Brett, welcome to the show.
Sam, happy to be here.
Hey man, the pleasure's all mine. I mean, this is a timely episode. You know, obviously with 1031s on the chopping block or potential on the chopping block, which they've been there before, but you know, potential on the chopping block and all those things, I'd love to really just get your thoughts on, you know, where we are, where are we in that process, and what can we investors do using deferred sales trusts and other things to kind of get around some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Biden administration is proposing some really what I call commercial real estate game changers, and anyone actually has a lot of wealth. And the first one that is the most, I think, prevalent or most obvious for commercial real estate owners is the potential reduction, which I think it essentially eliminates the 1031 exchange, because what they're saying is at this point, if it passes this proposal, that the 1031 would only allow you to defer $500,000 of your gain. So let's say you bought a property for $500,000. Let's say you've owned it for 10 years and it's worth $3 million. Well, if you were to sell it for $3 million, the only amount that's allowed to be deferred is $500,000. And you may have depreciated that, right? You might have done cost seg, or you might have had it even for 27 and a half years and depreciation is zero. Well, if you sell it for that $3 million number, guess what? Only $500,000 would apply for the 1031 and the rest of it would be taxed. So to me, growing up in real estate, doing 1031 exchanges with clients, essentially it's going to eliminate it for folks, especially if they're selling anything above, let's say, $1 million, have held it for more than, let's even say, 5 or 10 years, because it's at least going to be that kind of gain. So yeah, that's the first one. So any thoughts or questions on that, Sam?
Not out of the gate. I mean, I guess, well, maybe there are. So you're saying anything over $1 million, it looks like that this will obviously no longer be a viable tool for us.
That's kind of my thought. If they've owned it for a certain amount of years, you know, everything's, yeah, like, but essentially, yes.
Right. And so then what do we do?
Yeah. So then you want to have an alternative or backup plan, right? And so what are the alternatives? So our favorite is the deferred sales trust. And actually, it was our favorite even before this, even before the Biden, you know, administration had put that in. There's really three perfect storms going on, and I'll tell you what they are and tell you why this is our favorite. Number one, you had just the demographics. They're the baby boomers, okay? And the American Bankers Association did a study, and the study found that there's about 77 million baby boomers in the U.S. alone, and there's about 10,000 turning 65 every day. And right now, they are going to transfer and have wealth of about 17 to 20 trillion, and this is happening over the next 20 years. And Sam, this is known as the largest wealth transfer in the history of the planet. Okay, if you think about that, it's staggering. At no time in history that we know of has more wealth transferred. Well, what do they own? Well, they own high-end primary homes, commercial real estate, and private equity businesses, right? Those three asset classes represent 50% of total net worth of America. And then why do they want to sell? Well, they want to retire. They want to spend more time with their grandkids. They want less regulation, less headaches, less toilets, trash, liability. They're ready to be kind of done with a lot of this, right? At least for the most part. They also want to be able to cash out at a high point, and they don't want to have to stay in debt. So they want diversification, they want liquidity, and they want something different for their life. And I'll give you an example. I have a client, he's a baby boomer, and he sold 128 units. And he was faced with a 1031 exchange, couldn't find a deal, couldn't make a deal that made sense. The cap rates were 4.5%, 5% in North Carolina. He's going, this doesn't make any sense. And then COVID-19 hit, and he's like, well, I'm extra just cautious now. So he was past his 45-day identification period, and he used the deferred sales trust to save his failed 1031 exchange. But more than that, what he saw for this was a chance for him to change his focus and his time and his energy to more of a legacy play. And what's his legacy play? Well, he bought this big property in Montana, and he's building out a leadership conference or Leadership Compound to host conferences for corporate leaders. That's kind of his passion legacy play versus just owning and managing real estate. So that's where the transformation comes in with the deferred sales trust. So that's the first storm is the demographics. The number two storm is political, which we kind of touched on before. Wealth is under attack. Let's know, you know, I don't think there's anyone who would disagree with that. And unfortunately, the stepped up basis is they're talking about eliminating that, which is huge. The estate tax exemption is going to be cut in half. Likely. And then the capital gains tax rate is going to go from 20 federal to potentially 39.6%. That's staggering to think about. Beforehand, when someone would sell, it'd be somewhere between 30 and 50% of the capital gains tax with the depreciation recapture, especially if you own multifamily or commercial property at 39 years. Then you're looking at an additional 20 on top of that. So we're talking about 50 to 70%. And then the whole holy grail of let's drop until we swap until we drop, like 1031 exchange, right? Well, that was based upon the stepped up basis. Well, if we no longer have that, you know, that's also staggering. So again, to be really fair, this is all proposals, right? Whether or not they pass or whether or not they pass in the form in which they're proposing, we don't know, but we think it's very important to take this very serious and to be prepared in case it does pass.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Can you go back a little bit for us and maybe give our listeners, just in case there's some pieces that are missing here, can you define stepped up basis for us?
Yeah. So stepped up basis is where you can pass your property to, let's say, your kids. And instead of them receiving the old basis that you bought the property for, they will receive the step up to the current market value. Therefore, they could sell in that given year and let's say have zero capital gains tax. So easiest way is an example. You own a property for 27 and a half years. It's multifamily. You bought it for $1 million. It's zero basis. Now it's worth 10. You pass away. Your kids step into your new basis at 10 million, that current market value. They could sell and at that point walk away capital gains tax free.
Got it. And they're talking about axing that as well. So
yeah, talking about taking that away, right? And not only that, but they would trigger the tax upon death. So let's say that the market may not be a good time to sell, or the kids may not be familiar with the real estate, or they might have to have multiple siblings. I mean, there's so many kind of, you know, rabbit trails we can go down here, but they're literally talking about taking that away, which has been the, I think, the foundational reason why we've done 1031 exchanges. And why we've been able to build wealth within real estate within all of Americans. And that has to do with primary homes. Now, they're going to do a little bit of an exclusion for, I think, primary homes. There's a little carve out there, maybe other carve outs. Again, this is still very in its infancy. Right. So lots of details. But if you own, like a lot of my clients, more than $5 million of commercial real estate, like this is staggering.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because like you were saying, if that goes away and someone's forced to sell in order to cover a tax, it might be not a favorable time to sell.
Correct.
You might be, you know, loads of people forced to unload properties at a complete wrong time.
Exactly.
Just in order to cover the, oh my gosh. Yeah, that sounds like a train wreck. So how do you use a deferred sales trust to get around or to, you know, I'll just say it, to get around that? How does that
work? You actually sell before you die and you move the funds into the deferred sales trust and you trade ownership for becoming a lender. So to back up of what the deferred sales trust is versus the 1031 exchange, the 1031 exchange is just a continuity deferral mechanism that allows you to trade ownership into another like-kind property of ownership. Only investment property, by the way. Doesn't work for primary homes, doesn't work for cryptocurrency, doesn't work for business sales, okay, doesn't work for artwork or collectibles. The deferred sales trust works for all of those. We're actually doing a $12 million cryptocurrency case. They bought Ethereum for $100,000. They're selling it for $12. We're going to defer about $5 million of tax. And guess what they want to go do? Buy apartment complexes and get cash flow. So it's an amazing way, by the way, for syndicators who are listening to unlock high net worth wealth to fund your projects and your deals. So, but the deferred sales trust is what? You're actually becoming the lender. So it's IRC 453, which is known as an installment sale, versus IRC 1031 exchange, right? Which is, again, a way to trade like-kind property. So what you're doing is you're lending the money to the trust in exchange for typically about 8% interest rate over a 10-year period of time. And you are becoming the lender. And when you do that, you're in a different part of the law. And when you're in a different part of the law, there's a different set of rules. And I call this the Blockbuster versus Netflix. I don't know if you remember, Sam, going to Blockbuster on a Friday night and you're excited to get that movie. And your wife tells you to go get that movie because she wanted to see it. And you see the movie because it's on pop, that cardboard box is pushed out, right? So as you're walking up to get that movie, there's a gentleman, he's two steps ahead of you and he smiles as he's looking at you as he takes the movie. And you both know you're like, oh, I'm bummed out, right? So he gets the movie, you get the second place movie, but you go home, you're kind of happy. But then 3 days later, you got to return this thing, right? But you forgot. So you're 4 days. So you're late. Oh, you forgot to rewind it. So that's like the 1031. It's very restrictive, right? It's like sometimes taking a square peg and trying to plug it into a circle hole because of low inventory, right? Crazy amount of wealth chasing deals. Not a lot of value out, a lot of juice squeezed out, a lot of deals, right? Also, you're in this time crunch, right? 45 days to identify, 180 days to close. So we call that, our parents taught us to sell high and buy low, not sell high and buy higher 180 days later, which is actually where my story started. Out at Marcus & Millichap, working out as a broker agent in 2006. You see, the market was high, everything was going great. You know, people were buying, selling property, making a bunch of money, but then everything came to a crashing halt. So I was new in the business, just trying to make it. I went from making a little bit of money to like nothing overnight, so much so that I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm going to be able to support my family, right? It's very scared. And so I did what every good real estate, I guess, wannabe does. You get a side job. I worked at Cheesecake Factory for 2 years, nights and weekends, and I moved in with my wife at home. I'm with my brother in his house with my wife and my baby into his home. And we did everything we could to keep it going. But see, my clients were going through a similar challenge. They had, some of them had lost half of their wealth. Some of them lost everything because they had too much debt. They had overpaid. And here's the thing, Sam, they knew they were overpaying in 04, 05, 06, but they felt trapped by the 1031 exchange. They felt trapped by the Blockbuster way of doing things. So this is when my business partner now, he played for the 49ers. He comes in and he tells me the story about the deferred sales trust. Now this is 2009 and he's speaking to all of the Marcus & Millichap agents. And we thought we were like the Navy SEALs of this thing, right? Oh, we got this tax deferral 1031 thing. We got it all figured out. But all of a sudden, we're looking around. Our clients are telling us, we wish we'd had 1031. We wish we'd have just paid the tax. Mm. And so I think we got a solution for you. And I started to talk about it. My business started to grow. And I go, I think it's like the future. I think it's like the Netflix. They're like, well, how is it the Netflix? So I go, well, there's no timing restrictions. Well, what do you mean? Well, you can sell high. You can park the funds into the trust. And you can wait on the sidelines. And the best story for that was a gentleman, I call it the Monday morning quarterback. This guy sold a property in Minnesota for $20 million. This guy hates the stock market. He prints money. He's worth a ton of money. But he's looking around in 06 and he's going, you know, this is like the Big Short. This doesn't make any sense. I don't want to buy right now. I know this thing's going to turn. So he parked the funds into the deferred sales trust for the first time. By the way, you can invest the funds in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, hard money lending. You can do passive or active real estate. You can do it all or in pieces. There's lots of flexibility there. So he put it in a conservative allocation because he hates the stock market. So he wasn't subject to these huge fluctuations. But then 5 years later, Sam, the bank calls him back and says, hey, you know that property you sold to that guy? Yeah, he overpaid. Yeah. Well, we just foreclosed on him and we're just curious, do you want to buy it back? And he goes, well, maybe. What's the price? They go, well, 40% less than what you sold it for. So what did he do? He actually reallocated the investments in the trust into an LLC. And he bought the property back at 60 cents on the dollar. And when I heard that story, I said, you know what? If that's true, this changes everything.
Right.
Okay. And by the way, he got a new depreciation schedule on that too, which is incredible. And he's actively owning that in partnership with the trust. And so I had my mentor tell me that story about 3 or 4 times. And if you're listening to this, you should rewind that and understand what's happening, right? Because that changes everything, right? You can sell high, you can pay off debt, you can sit on the sidelines, get your powder dry, and you can buy low when the market turns. So even before the Biden administration, even before the potential changes of the 1031 exchange, the baby boomers were already going through this 10 years ago or 11 years ago, 12 years ago, they already went through this. They don't want to go through it again. So that's why we think the deferred sales trust is the ideal solution for so many reasons, but I'll pause there, see if you have any questions or thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess one is, and this is just pure ignorance asking this question, so forgive me, but is why not just put things in the trust to begin with? Why wait until you sell it, realize the gain, but then dump it into the trust? Why not just put it in the trust out of the gate?
Great question, because in order to transfer ownership to a lender, you need a third-party buyer. Okay, so you need the cash to fund the trust. So what's actually happening here is you have three parties, okay? So let's just say it's a $20 million asset in Minnesota, okay? And let's say you had a zero basis and you would have paid, let's say, $8 million of tax, okay? And you have a $20 million cash buyer. He can get a loan, whatever. Well, if he gives you that $20 million directly, you're just going to pay the tax. Sure. So it's not just transferring it into like a living trust to avoid probate. You need to actually sell it to somebody and convert your ownership to becoming a lender. So how do you traditionally do that? Well, you do that in a traditional installment sale. You would just carry paper for that buyer, right? You might say, hey, give me $5 million down, I'll carry the 15 and we'll call, you know, and I'll pay him back over time. The challenge with that is you're not diversified. You might have to foreclose. You're not liquid, right? And you can't go use those funds for something else. And likely he's paying you back in 2 to 5 years anyways, when he improves the property and he pays you back all with likely no prepayment penalty. So that's where most people don't usually typically use a installment sale. However, the law is very well known, right? You know what it is, right? Your CPA does. And that's what the foundation of the deferred sales trust is. So we're just using the law of IRC 453, an installment sale. Instead of just letting him do a traditional installment sale, we're jumping in right in between that sale. And we're asking you, Sam, let's say it's your property, to carry back $20 million. We're asking you to take a zero down payment from the trust. And here's, and we'll tell you why you're going to do that in a minute. Zero. And then we're asking the buyer to cooperate, which they always do. They get the same thing they're bargaining for. And we actually sell simultaneous close the asset to the cash buyer. So right. The $20 million goes into the trust. And what happened? The smoke clears. Buyer has title. You have received a promissory note for $20 million plus 8% net of recurring fees is typically how we structure it. Over a 10-year period of time, of which you can renew every 10 years for 10 years, pass it to your kids, keep it going. But this is where the magic happens, okay? First of all, nothing moves out your signature or your approval, okay? So it's all protected. There's been thousands of closes, billions under management. All the IRS audits have been perfect, zero, zero issues. But now, what do you want to do, Sam? We build out a wealth plan for you. By the way, I had some clients last year, they just sat in the bank, right? They were concerned that this whole thing was going to fall apart. Right. And so in the middle of COVID-19, they just sat in the bank, okay? I had some put in hard money lending, okay, with big groups that do fix and flips and have very, very conservative underwriting. I've had some put it in multifamily syndications. I had another client actually in Tennessee. He's building 70 units. He sold a business at $2.6 million in Alabama, and he's a business, think about that, put into the trust, deferred about $600,000 in tax, and he's building 70 units multifamily, which he's going to sell and move into the same trust. So there's so many ways to build wealth here. But the key is when you get time back and you get diversification and you get out of debt, to us, that's the transformation. That's when transformation happens versus transactional blockbuster way of doing things, trying to squeeze a square into a circle hole, right? Under this enormous amount of pressure. So hopefully that answers the question.
It does. It does. So, in the end, the buyer still ends up writing a check for $20 million. The $20 million just goes into the trust.
You got it.
And then somehow between the trust and you, you've signed a promissory note, essentially with the trust and yourself saying, hey, I'm going to pay myself X number of dollars per year. And now I can take whatever's in the trust and invest it any way I so see fit. And off it goes. I kick the bucket. What happens?
Yeah. So your kids step into your shoes. So they maintain tax deferral. So this is the key. This is how the government, by the way, why do they like this? Well, they're locking in their gain. They're locking in their tax and they're allowing you to diversify your tax, right? Versus a 1031 exchange, they felt like they weren't really getting their fair share, right? And that you're just 1031-ing, never paying the tax, stepped up basis, walking away, they get nothing. Or even worse, 1031-ing, not diversifying, 08 hits, then the whole thing crashes and they still get nothing. So in this scenario, they at least see it as, look, they've locked in their gain and they've locked in the tax. It's in a deferral state. By the way, what's the government charging you for this? Well, zero interest, right? So when would you want to pay back a $5 million loan if the government gives you zero interest? You're like, now, when you live off the interest of these payments, you'll pay ordinary income tax on that, right? So they're still getting their tax. And of course, they're getting their tax on the new property taxes and the realtor who sold it and all that stuff, and new jobs that are created. So there needs to be, when we invest the funds, it needs to be economic substance, right? It needs to be a business. It needs to be real estate, stock market, hard money lending, stuff like that, like where there's business purpose. But that's the first structure. The second structure we have is outside of the taxable estate. And this is for very large deals. Like we're doing a deal right now for a gentleman near Dallas, and he's in his late 60s. He's owned multifamily, mobile home park, single family housing. And then he also has a big ranch. And collectively, it's like $50 million. And all $50 million is inside of his taxable estate.
Mm.
So he can go buy insurance to try to do family planning or gifting, but he can't get it out fast enough. So he approaches us and says, A, I don't want a 1031. I'm tired of that. B, I need help with my estate tax and getting this outside my taxable estate. And C, I have a legacy play. I want to do something else other than just being engulfed with all of the real estate. Even though he's hired property management, he's still engulfed with it all the time. So he's selling it and he's going to move it all into the deferred sales trust plus and simultaneously move it outside of his taxable estate. Okay. He's going to defer as well as eliminate the estate tax. Right. And his kids are going to step in with saving that extra 40%. So this point, people say, Brett, this is too good to be true. Why did my CPA know about it? I work with some of the smartest people. And to that point, I would just say, just consider these two stories. I'll tell you right now. First one is a gentleman named David Young. He worked with a guy named Bill Gross for 10, 15 years. Bill Gross, for those who don't know, he's kind of like the Warren Buffett of the financial advising world. Mm. And they ran a group or they helped build PIMCO. And PIMCO is one of the most respected groups in the world with money management. And these guys get approached with stuff all the time, like this, try this tax thing, try this thing, try this thing. And as you probably know, they 99% of the time, they just turn it away. Anyway, so Bill and David Young for four other guys took PIMCO from 80 billion to 1.2 trillion. And then about 15 years ago, they all retired on a big thing. Four of the five got back together. Bill just stayed retired. But David Young and his team, about 3 years ago, saw the deferred sales trust. And like most of the time, they dismiss it. But they say, you know what? We'll take a look at this thing because they might have something going here. And so they didn't spend a month or two or three looking at this. They spent 2 years. They had their legal team come in and they flew back and met with my business partner, who's a tax attorney. And they sat down, they went through it and they interviewed clients and they went every nook and cranny for 2 years. And they found two conclusions at the end of this. They said, one, that's the smartest person we've ever met. And that being the tax attorney, he's the brain surgeon who does all this. I'm just the trustee. I'm like the nurse that helps coordinate this thing. Okay. And number two, we're all in. So much so that they're all part of the inner circle of managing money for deferred sales trust clients. And these guys manage funds for some of the smartest, wealthiest endowments, pension funds in the world. And these guys have put their name on this. And you can speak with David, right? And David's been on my podcast. So I always say, for those who are skeptical right now, which you should be because you're hearing about this thing for the first time, probably, if it's good enough for David Young and his legal team after 2 year due diligence, and he's been in the industry for like 25, 30 years with some of the most respected, smart people in the world, is it good enough for you? Sure. And the answer may be no, and that's okay. You might need Warren Buffett to do it, or you might need your CPA to do it. But what I can tell you is it's worked every time, billions under management, thousands of closes, 25-year track record, perfect with the IRS, because it's just an installment sale. Now, how we apply it is very particular, right? And our team that we have assembled to execute this is very particular, right? But it works, and we're here to try to help people out, because again, if Biden does what he can do with this stuff, I'm on the mission to train and coach every single commercial real estate syndicator, operator, financial advisor on how to help their clients. Because I do feel like it's us against them at this point. It really does feel this way, right? It feels like they want to take the wealth from the wealthy and they want to redistribute it and try to make these things that are in their minds the right way to do things, right? Now, again, why do they still like us and why can't they just take us away? They could take us away too. But we believe that the IRS, it's a win-win for everybody. It is us against them in one sense, but in the other sense, it's us with them. Because when we're doing this, again, we're helping them lock in their tax. They will receive it over time and helping them diversify their ability to receive the cash flow. And so I'll pause there. I know I said a whole lot, Sam.
No, you're good. You're good. Here's one question for you, is multiple properties. So let's assume that you sell a $20 million, go back to $20 million. You sell that this year. But then a year later, you're like, oh, hey, I want to unload whatever else it is. Can you then put the rest of that into the same deferred sales trust, or is it a new transaction every time?
The answer is yes. And you can roll in multiple assets, primary homes, which is an $8.3 million deal in Silicon Valley for a primary home. Business sales, I mentioned the one in Alabama we just did. We can save a failed 1031 exchange. Cryptocurrency, we're doing multiple cryptocurrency cases. Like right now, it's all, everyone's just like, oh, it went high, it went low. Let me get out. I'm like, yes, we told you get out months ago, right? So yeah, it just one trust, multiple assets into one trust. And then if you're extra high net worth, again, basically worth more than 10 million or 20 million bucks, then we do a second trust and we move it outside the taxable estate to save you on that 40%.
Two final questions here. What are some drawbacks to the deferred sales trust?
Yeah, the biggest one is there's this trustee named Brett Swartz who's going to be working with you and needs to approve these things, right? And by approve is you have to approve as well. And so just getting to know me and realize that we're a friendly trustee and we want what you want. And we're going to help you to step from stepping on a landmine. But working as a team, it's not just me. It's my team behind me. It's the financial advisor who provides that services. He played for the 49ers, my business partner. He's the co-founder of the Deferred Sales Trust. He's wonderful. And then there's the tax attorneys who do the legal work. We're all working as a team, but just getting comfortable with that. The second one would be like, I've never heard of it. And sometimes people just, it's hard for them to make huge decisions with new things they've never heard of when their own professionals they've been working with for 20 years have never heard of it or don't know it, right? And part of that, by the way, we have thousands of affiliates and strategic alliances, outside law firms, former IRS agents, big time deals that have gone down where we can give you those references. So we're confident in what we have. But for some people, it's like my CPA, who I so trusted for so long, he's been doing my blood work all my life and helping me with, you know, overcome the common cold and the common thing. But now I need brain surgery and he's never heard of that surgeon's way of doing things. So, and you got to understand, the CPA's point of view too. They're so busy with what they're doing. If they say yes to this thing, which they've never done or had a client do, what's upside for them? It's only downside. If they say, no, I just wouldn't do it, there's no downside for them. So you can't necessarily blame those guys. Now, if you actually get the CPAs, your CPAs on with us, which by the way, we have no obligation, no cost due diligence with any of this. We will advise, look at, underwrite, form the trust, get everything set up. But if you actually bring them on the call with us, literally 9 out of 10 guys, they sign up with us. And they're like, this is amazing. And they bring all their clients in. But sometimes that person just emotionally, I call it the nervous Nancy syndrome, right? Where it's like, I just need them to say yes, and therefore I say no because they're not sure. Right. So I said that's probably one of the biggest things. And the second would be, I guess you could say the fees. People are always concerned about fees. We charge about 1.5% to set up the trust. And I say the legal team does that. It's a one time, provides lifetime audit defense. The second one is about 1.5% to manage the funds. That includes the trustee fee, the financial advising fee, and that's on an ongoing basis. Now, if the deals get larger, that does get a little bit smaller. But generally speaking, that's why we want at least $1 million net gain and at least $1 million net proceeds. It means the tax is big enough to justify and make sense of the ROI of the fees, okay?
Right. Sure.
So that's a little bit of, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. Absolutely. Got one last question for you before we jump into the final four. Raising funds using a deferred sales trust. How does that work?
Yeah, let me just tell you a couple of stories. So one of our strategic alliances is Praxis Capital, Brian Burke, millions of dollars into his funds already with multiple clients of mine. One of them is Joe Fairless and Ashcroft Capital, and have also placed funds with multiple syndications with him. Another one is Kevin Bupp in mobile home senior housing or mobile home parks and parking lots, and we've placed funds with him. So most Reg D's, right? Guess what? You don't qualify for the 1031, or the carve out is just such a mess. They don't, most of them do not accept it. In fact, all of those guys, I believe, do not accept any of those, okay?
Right.
Still happening. So now we're in a different scenario, right? We're just a trust, right? We're just a trust. So if you look on the actual Reg D regulations, there's a thing that says all equity owners of the trust are accredited investors, right? Something along those lines. Well, that's how we qualify. So we can go in, and it's so simple for the syndicator. It's just like another LLC or a trust investing as an LP. So the answer is really, hopefully, pretty clear now. You have clients out there that are looking to sell cryptocurrency, primary homes, businesses, investment real estate. And then they're calling you saying, can I 1031 into this? And you're like, no, no, no. Can you defer sales trust to it? Yes, yes, yes. Now, caveat there, 80% can go illiquid with you. 20%'s got to stay liquid. Okay, why? Well, we got to keep a little bit of a reserve. We don't want to take too much risk and not be able to pay back the trust. Now, that 20% is stocks, bonds, mutual funds, some of the conservative allocations, still earning interest, still your money, just not 100% going to go into that real estate deal or fund. So we're going to help you navigate that. But hopefully that answers the question there, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. And that makes a heck of a lot of sense. Yeah, because I'm stepping outside of my knowledge base here a little bit, but have not taken 1031 funds just because then they end up being on the tenants in common if they're 1031 funds in a syndication. And you just get into all these wonky, rules and keeping up with that. It just becomes
a... And let me add to this too. We just helped a client. You can go on my podcast and listen to it. His name's David and his partner's Jordan. And they're two GPs and they owned a $20 million asset in Nevada, a multifamily property. They have a ton of LPs. So the other question comes up, well, when I exit these deals, a lot of these big groups, they don't 1031 because of the complexity. Everyone just pays their tax. Well, can we just carve out the two partners? Yeah. So their two partners, their two GP positions went to their own deferred sales trust. Then they sold another asset in Phoenix for $16.5 million. Multifamily property, same thing. They rolled the funds into the same trust. And this is the cool part, right? So they would have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax. Instead, now they're using the funds to fund their next deal. They already did that and they bought a deal in Dallas. So it's truly remarkable. And you just got to see it. And you got to, I say it's like riding a bike. You've never rode this bike before, but we've been riding it for, years and years and years. And we're closing deals just about every week now. And we'd love for you to come ride and check it out with us.
Man, Brett, this has been awesome. I've learned a heck of a lot today. Thanks so much for sharing your insight. Final four questions are this. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Yeah, learn to work harder on yourself than to do on your job. If you work hard on your job or your investments, you'll make a living, and that's fine. If you work harder on yourself, you'll make a fortune. And this is a quote by Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. And it's really about growing your character. It's not about making the money, although that's cool because you can help a lot of people and you can support your family. But it's becoming everything you were created to be. See, I believe we've all been given certain gifts, and these gifts have been given to us to be a blessing and help to others. And it's not until we're using those gifts and maximizing the potential of those gifts and making an impact on others and having a faith, I believe, that's bigger than just us. We've been given this to be a blessing to others, that we feel fulfilled and fulfill our purpose. So I would say learn to work harder on yourself than you do on your job.
Love it, man. That's great. That's great. Number two is this. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Yeah. So I hired a coach, paying the guy $600 an hour. And I was like, really? You're that much? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm going to give this a shot. So I've never, I've got out of my own way. Growing up, it wasn't easy. I saw wealth on both sides. My dad was financially really amazing with what he's done and building houses and rentals. See, my parents were divorced when I was young. I spent 80% of the time with my mom, 20% with my dad. My dad didn't necessarily, let's say, pay child support, right? During those days, it was kind of a bad divorce, bad thing. God always provided for us on my mom's side, but it was tough, man. man. So I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to face that. And so what was the question? I missed it, Sam.
What is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So part of that is the scarcity mindset, right? So growing up in that, it's like, oh man, I can do it myself. Let me just bootstrap this. My grandmother was also, you know, from the Great Depression. So she was amazing, but there was something about not paying, you know, or just doing it yourself or just bootstrapping it. Right. So now I've shifted my mindset to hiring the who and not being the how,
right?
Hiring that coach, right? Getting that help. I grew up in sports. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this all my life. I play basketball in college. I'm like, I've always had a coach. Like, why don't I have a coach now?
Right.
And I'm like, maybe you're not humble enough, Brett. You need to get out of your own way. So I've hired that coach, also masterminding, right? More and more of that, and being very intentional about that, if that makes sense, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. That's a great point. Question number three is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you were doing to make the world a better place?
Yeah. So we support a group called Agape International, and they fight in the darkest of places in Cambodia for one of the places to end child sex slavery. So we're on a mission to support them and fund their cause. And we bring them on the podcast to share their story. We do call for actions. We do matching gifts. So that is definitely one way we are giving back.
Right. No, I love that. That's great. That's great. Brett, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, you can go to capitalgainstaxsolutions.com. You can search out on iTunes or YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. And if you are, and we'll give you a free ebook there too, Sell Your Business, Real Estate, or Cryptocurrency Smarter. It's like 9 steps using the Deferred Sales Trust. And if you are a commercial real estate syndicator, operator, financial advisor, business broker, luxury realtor, you can go to experttaxsecrets.com to learn how the Deferred Sales Trust can add massive value to your clients and grow your business. That's experttaxsecrets.com.
That's awesome. Brett, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.